Hi there, this is Tracy. Today I am with Carolyn. I met Carolyn through the Domestic Violence Coalition of Colorado, and she's got quite a story to tell. And I'm really grateful that you're here to talk with me and help my subscribers understand the other side of domestic violence. Emotional abuse is always a part of domestic violence, but what we want to talk about today is child alienation. So tell me, how long were you married?
I was married for just under 10 years to my ex-husband, and we have three children together.
Okay, and did it start off like bad? Did you walk in and something just wasn't right?
No, in fact, I fell in love with him because he had this boyish charm and made me laugh, and we seemed to have a great time together, and we had a lot of fun together. So no, it wasn't an immediate thing. It was very gradual. I recall that, you know, I felt like the moment we got married is when I became his possession. It wasn't until that point that I felt that way. But once we got married, I felt that way.
I think that's very common. I hear it from a lot of the survivors and the subscribers to my channel, is that it's the love bombing phase, the idealization phase. And then, boom, you get married. And sometimes I've heard within minutes, mm-hmm. the person has completely changed. And that's what happened for you.
Yeah, I would say that.
Wow. And what kind of abuse did you undertake with this man over the years?
Sure. So a lot of it was emotional, definitely mental. A lot of gaslighting was going on. I felt like I was walking around on eggshells most of the time, and that I lived with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I never quite knew exactly what I was going to get. There was a lot of infidelity on his part that was always blamed on me, not doing the right thing or not being the right wife or not caring about him the way that somebody else may care about him. So I was always feeling like everything was my fault. There were several occasions where there was, you know, physical abuse. When I was pregnant with our oldest child, Caitlin, he kicked me in the stomach, and as he got up, he ended up scratching my face. And then there was a couple other after that. There was another one where it was really the only time that I really feared for my life. He had me in a headlock, and I thought he was going to snap my neck. And at that same point, he also had his hand over my mouth and my nose to the point where I couldn't breathe. And I ended up with huge scratch marks on my face because I was trying to pry his hands off of my face. And for whatever reason, he let go of me that night, and I was able to call 911. And he did receive a domestic violence charge, a DUI, because he'd come home after binge drinking. And also resisting arrest, and of course it was all dropped down to harassment. And then while we were going through our divorce, he came over to the marital home, and he pushed me out of the back of the U-Haul because he had grabbed our youngest daughter's car seat, and I didn't have money to replace the car seat. And he had grabbed that, and so I was trying to get into the U-Haul to get it out, and he pushed me out of that. What I didn't know is that he had a baseball bat in the cab of the U-Haul, as well as brass knuckles. And he told my daughter, my oldest daughter, when he dropped him off, that this is a baseball bat for killing people, not for playing baseball. And he actually came after me with the baseball bat in front of my children. And again, I was able to call 911 immediately, and he was arrested again for, actually this time, felony domestic violence and harassment. And he also received a charge from the Department of Social Services for child endangerment because it happened in front of our children. And again, it was all dropped down to lesser charges. And the only time that he actually did was 6 months in jail for work release because he violated his probation with another DUI.
So this man that you were married to, he sounds evil and he sounds disturbed, and yet he gets out of being arrested and has everything dropped down, because I know, you know, I was arrested for domestic violence and trespassing, and I've had a year of hell. So how does somebody that has done these horrific things just walk? How does the system let that happen?
I don't know how the system lets it happen. The one thing I can tell you is that he really believes that he is completely above the law and that he is untouchable. And I know that a lot of people who are narcissistic and also have personality disorders personality disorders, basically, think the same way, that they are untouchable, that they are above the law, that nobody can touch them, nobody can hurt them. I think that money and the attorneys that he's been able to get to represent him have a huge influence. I also think that in some ways I've made a lot of mistakes too. You know, here I saw somebody that was getting ready to, you know, go to jail, and not only was he financially supporting his new wife and her three children, but he was also giving me financial support. And I also saw that two families could potentially crumble if he were to go to jail for any length of time. And I actually spoke up at his sentencing and asked for work release so that he could continue supporting both families, because without his financial support, we would crumble. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that I think I could have done a lot differently, but at the time I thought I was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And would I change things knowing what I know now? Absolutely. But at the time I didn't know, I thought I was doing all the right things.
And that's the thing with any of us as victims, we are good people. We want the good thing. We give them the benefit of the doubt constantly. But in all of this that he has done, to me, I mean, that's just a bunch of strikes on the card, you know, and I would think judges and police would be like, okay, bad dude, nice wife. But where are your children today?
He has custody of my children.
And your three children live with him?
Yes, full time.
And do you see them?
No, I haven't seen my daughters now in over 5 years, and I haven't seen my son in over 3 years. And I'm actually still court ordered to have visitation with my son and also have phone calls twice a week.
And you don't get them?
No.
So what kind of things has he done to alienate your children from you? Because if you've got a court order to see them, isn't it just as simple as, okay, he's mine on Tuesday, bye?
No, it's not that simple. I've been told that my son doesn't want to have anything to do with me. He is getting ready to turn 10. And so for the last 3 years, I'm told that he doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And, you know, you can't possibly make, you know, a small child get into a car kicking and screaming and go for a visit. And I guess there's part of me that would disagree, you know, as a healthy parent in a healthy relationship with your children, you encourage them to have a relationship with their other parent no matter what. And even if they thought that I was an unfit parent, or that I was a danger of some sort, you put things into place so that you can still have a relationship with your children. There are times when I feel like, you know, people that are sitting in prison have more rights to their children than I do. I'm denied having any kind of pictures or knowing about any special events that they're going to or any of the milestones that they have in school. I'm not allowed to know what's going on with them. And, you know, there was a time not too long ago, probably about a year ago, where we accidentally ran into my oldest daughter and my ex-husband at a sporting event. And for, you know, 2 hours after that, I was belittled through text messages about how I should have never shown up and I should have known better, and I'm harassing them and I'm stalking them and just going on and on and on about how I'm creating all of this chaos in his life because I showed up at a sporting event that I had no clue that they would even be at.
Right.
But yet it's my fault. And you know, in all reality, he's the one who's creating the chaos, not me.
Oh, yeah. And he's gaslighting you, and he's telling your children bad things about you.
Yeah.
And, like, I know you have to go through parenting class when you're getting a divorce, and you are told not to ever tell the children about bad things about their parents so that, that they can keep this connection and be with their mom or their dad. That has to be so hard. I can't believe it.
My son, at the age of probably 6 years old, had told me how he was mad at me because I wasn't paying child support.
Wow.
Which wasn't true at the time, but yeah, my son at 6 years old told me that he was mad at me because I wasn't paying child support.
And how would a six-year-old know that unless daddy's sitting there dreaming it into his head and telling them bad things about you? That is the classic child alienation kind of, you know, he's going by the manual to just sit there and tell them bad things about you, make them afraid of you, tell them you're crazy, tell them you're a drunk. You know, lots of people are told they're a whore. I mean, whatever it is, it's something that the children should never, ever, ever hear.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, my kids are probably told, because it's one of the things that he tells me. I happen to be a recovering alcoholic, and so he has convinced my children that I'm still drinking, I'm a drug addict, that my new husband is probably a sexual predator. Yeah, it's very interesting with parental alienation or this type of thing that happens with children after an abusive relationship. They can see a picture of a very loving moment with their parent that they've been alienated from, but the alienator will twist it and turn it and say, but oh, you don't know what happened behind the scenes. You know, your mom or your dad was doing this that day, and your mom or your dad was saying this about you or the other people that were around them. And so now this child has taken this very loving memory, and now it's become an unpleasant memory. Just like that. Mm-hmm. And so now they're able to believe the lies as though it's their own reality.
And we call this programming. Like, I have things that from when I was a child, you're programmed. And this is the programming that he's doing to alienate your children against you. Mm-hmm. So you are doing a lot of really good things. You have decided that you are not going to let this happen again, and you're going to help as many people as you can. Do you want to tell us what you're doing?
Sure. So I do quite a bit of volunteering with the Colorado Coalition Against Domestic Violence. I am on their Survivor Caucus with many other women, including my husband and Tracy. I also serve on their policy board. I've also volunteered for other organizations also, but I think my biggest is being able to get into the state legislature and starting to speak with Colorado representatives as well as Colorado state senators, and trying to express to them about the concerns of parental alienation. The biggest problem with parental alienation is it's one of these terms that has been overused in the court system by abusers. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is she gets custody of the children because he's been abusive. Mm-hmm. And now, even though she may not have said anything to the children don't necessarily want to have a relationship with somebody who's going to be mean to them. Mm-hmm. And so they've gone back to court saying, I don't have a relationship with my kids because my ex-wife, who happened to be the victim of domestic violence, is now turning my children against me. And so it's become one of these terms that people, a lot of professionals, cringe at when they hear, mm-hmm. which is very unfortunate. And I've had the opportunity to speak with other professionals and say, you know, why don't we give it a different term? And the reality of it is that, you know, you got to call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And this is what it is. And yes, unfortunately, it has been extremely overused. But in those cases where it is such an extreme. There's different levels of parental alienation. You know, there's the mild parentalation kind of medium level, and then there's the extreme. And my case happens to be one of those extremes. But even just telling your children, you know, well, your dad's a deadbeat because he's not paying child support.
Right.
You know, parents need to be very careful about what they say to their children, because they are very, they're just sponges. They take all this information in, and it's so easy to manipulate them into thinking what you want, when in reality, all they want is to have two loving parents. And it doesn't matter if he's a deadbeat or if she's a deadbeat, or it shouldn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. What's important is that these children came into the world because two people apparently fell in love, and yeah, you couldn't get along with each other and you got divorced. Now be adults and get over it.
Right.
And do what's best for your children. But a lot of people don't see it that way.
No.
It becomes a war, and unfortunately the children end up becoming pawns in this war, and that's exactly what happened to my children. And in some of the most extreme cases like mine, I feel that it is another form of domestic violence, and it's definitely a child abuse issue.
And it's to me, the court systems are not helping you.
They aren't educated.
They don't know about any of this, and yet they're making decisions on people's lives and children's lives. To me, that is like, that is the crime, is that our judges and our lawyers that are defending and trying to help us, if they're across the table from someone who was the abuser but has this story to tell, they're not understanding all the facts. Don't they get some kind of child services involved sometimes to help read out some of the stuff?
But even child services doesn't totally understand a lot of this. You would think that the Department of Child and Family Services would be educated and would be able to understand domestic violence, but they don't even understand some of the things that go on. And in fact, it was the Department of Human Services that gave custody to my children, you know, of my children to my ex-husband. And they refused to look at the fact that he had a long history of domestic violence. He refused to look at the fact that he had 4 DUIs. But because I had relapsed as a recovering alcoholic and openly admitted in court, I was obviously the evil parent because I had an issue. Plus, I was also in another abusive relationship that wasn't a healthy situation or family situation for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a much better parent than I was at the time. And so that's basically what they said, is that I was the one who was unhealthy and they weren't looking at all of the past issues.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more education and training that needs to be brought to the attention of not only the judges, but attorneys and guardian ad litem and social workers that are making these major life decisions for children and families,
mm-hmm.
so that families aren't torn apart like this. There are so many things that can be put in as precautionary measures to ensure mm-hmm. a child's safety, that it doesn't necessarily have to come down to yanking a healthy parent out of their life or a loving parent out of their life. You know, we all go through situations in our lives where we struggle with certain things. It doesn't make us a bad parent. It just means that we're human.
Right. It really does. All right. Well, yep. We're going to do another video in a minute. We're going to introduce Carolyn's new husband, Randy, because I met him also through the coalition, and he's a very special guy, and I want to bring his perspective into this. Is there anything, last words that you might want to tell somebody that's going through this? What's your big piece of advice? What should they do to protect themselves?
Protect yourself and protect your children. I did a lot of things that I thought were in my children's best interest, like allowing them to have a relationship with their father, which I still think is a good idea, but I put my guard down and I let my guard down. Don't let your guard down.
Perfect. Thank you so much, my dear.